Well, good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Whiskey 8 Mike Whiskey, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found on our website. That's www.scarsvoip.com. You have many net controls for this session. I'm merely opening it up this evening. My call is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. My name is Kathleen, and I'm located in the city of Port St. Lucie, Florida, where we have current temperature of about 84, but it's very, very hot down here in South Florida. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, please come aboard. All right, hearing no emergency traffic, that's always a great thing. How about anyone celebrating their birthday? Maybe this week, maybe today, maybe last week. They'd like to come aboard so we could say happy, happy. Well, it looks like there's no birthday stations, and I always say that means we're not getting any older. This is a monthly Thursday informational net open forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. But I do want to advise all stations connected that this net might be recorded for future use, future presentation on our website as a podcast. And that's a sure thing. It will be there. All stations participating will be part of that recording. So our topic this evening is the art of listening. And too many of us throughout this country do not listen. So this will be a very interesting net this evening. So I'm glad that I was able to open it up, Dave, for the preamble, but I'll throw it over to you so you can continue. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. Over to GW 8 Sierra Zulu Lima.
K6SUN from GW 8 Astero. Thank you very much there, Kathy. And good evening, everyone. And welcome to the South Coast Amateur Radio Service VOIP Network Thursday Information Net. The purpose of the Thursday Information Net is to provide an opportunity for members and listeners to learn about a wide variety of topics related to amateur radio, communications technology, emergency preparedness, and many other subjects of general interest. And as Kathy just mentioned, tonight's presentation is entitled The Art of Listening. And that's the most underrated skill in amateur radio. We spend a great deal of time talking about transmitting, but tonight we're going to look at the other side of communication, and that is listening. Listening before we transmit, listening to what the radio is telling us, listening to other operators, and knowing when to speak and when to simply listen. As always, there will be opportunities for questions and comments throughout the presentation. And we encourage everybody listening to join in and share their own experiences. So, without further delay, let's get tonight's SCARS VOP First Information Net underway. Our first narrator this evening is Declan, 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel. Declan, 2W0KYH from 2W8-0. The microphone is yours. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening, everyone. I would like to begin tonight by asking you to imagine something rather unusual. Your radio is switched on, but you are not allowed to transmit. You can't press the PTT button. You can't call CQ. You can't join the conversation. All you can do is listen. How long do you think you could manage that? A minute? 5 minutes? Half an hour? perhaps some of us would find it surprisingly difficult. And yet listening is one of the first things we learn to do as radio amateurs. Before we make our first transmission, most of us have already spent quite a while listening to other operators, conversations, repeaters, Morse, strange noises and signals that appear and disappear. Tonight we're going to look at something that we all do every time we operate our radios, but perhaps don't give enough attention to. That is the art of listening. Amateur radio is often described as two-way communication. We transmit, somebody else receives, they transmit, and we receive. But between those transmissions is something incredibly important. Without listening, we are not really having a conversation at all. We're simply just taking turns talking. There's an old saying that we have two ears and only one mouth, and perhaps we should use them in roughly that proportion. It sounds like something our parents might have told us, but there is an important lesson hidden inside it. The Radio Society of Great Britain and other national organizations gives new operators some very simple advice. Listen before transmitting. The more we listen, the more we learn about how contacts are conducted and how to operate properly on the bands. But there's a deeper lesson here. Listening is not simply about checking whether a frequency is clear. It's about finding out what is actually happening. Imagine you turn on your HF transceiver, and you find what appears to be a completely quiet frequency. You might think, excellent, nobody's using it. But is that necessarily true? There could be a station transmitting somewhere beyond your reception range, a weak station buried in the noise, or a QSO that you can only hear intermittently because of propagation. So simply hearing silence does not necessarily mean that nobody is there. We listen, and we listen again. There is something almost magical about spending time listening to a band. At first, it can sound like chaos. Noise, static, fading signals, different voices, Morse code, and digital tones. But the longer you listen, the more that apparent chaos begins to make sense. You start recognizing patterns. You recognize the sound of a weak signal fighting its way through the noise. You begin to recognize when propagation is changing, and you learn what a pile-up, contest, or net sounds like. Eventually, you can sometimes tell what is happening before anyone actually explains it. That's experience, and experience begins with listening. Listening also helps us to avoid mistakes. Suppose you hear two operators having a conversation. You haven't heard the entire exchange. You hear a pause and it might be tempting to jump in. But perhaps the pause is not an invitation. Perhaps the other operator is simply taking a breath or waiting for someone else. If we haven't listened to the conversation, we don't know. And that is why patience is such an important part of good operating. And there is another classic situation. You hear someone calling CQ. You can hear them perfectly, so you immediately transmit your call sign. Nothing. They call CQ again. You try again and still nothing. You begin wondering whether your transmitter is working, whether your antenna is working properly, or whether your power is too low. But there's another possibility. They simply can't hear you. Radio communication is rarely symmetrical. The fact that we can hear somebody, does not guarantee that they can hear us as well. Experienced operators learn this. They listen for evidence, try again when appropriate, and sometimes simply accept that propagation is not cooperating. Listening also teaches us about the people behind the call signs. Every operator has a different style. Some speak quickly, some slowly, some give short exchanges while others enjoy longer conversations. Some are confident, others may be nervous. Others may have only recently received their call sign. If we listen carefully, we can often recognize these differences. This becomes particularly important when we hear a new operator. Perhaps they hesitate. Perhaps they're unsure about what to say. Perhaps there is a long pause before they answer. An impatient operator might simply move on, but an attentive operator might recognize that this person could be new. Instead of making them uncomfortable, they give them time. They speak clearly, They perhaps slow down. They make the contact easier. That small act of listening can make an enormous difference to somebody's experience of amateur radio. For all we know, that might be the contact they remember for the rest of their life. Perhaps this is where the real meaning of tonight's subject begins to emerge. Listening is not passive. Good listening requires concentration and patience. It requires us to resist the temptation to decide what somebody is going to say before they've actually said it. Sometimes we think we're listening and we're actually preparing our next transmission. We've all done it. The other operator is talking, and instead of absorbing what they're saying, we're already thinking, when they finish, I'm going to tell them about my new antenna. We've stopped listening. We're simply waiting for our turn. There is a difference. A very important difference. One of the great strengths of amateur radio is that we can learn simply by listening. You might sit down intending to make a few contacts. Instead, you hear an operator explaining how they solved an antenna problem, discussing propagation, making an interesting DX contact, or dealing calmly with a difficult situation. And without realizing something, you've learned something. I completely just jumped a few words there, my bad there. The danger, particularly after many years in the hobby, is thinking we've heard it all before. But every now and then, someone says something that makes us stop and think. The moment we stop listening is the moment we stop learning. So perhaps tonight's message is actually very simple. Before you transmit, listen. Before you answer, listen. Before you interrupt, listen. Before you assume that you know what is happening, listen. And sometimes, even after you've heard what you expect to hear, listen some more. Because the radio is constantly telling us things. The signals are telling us things. The operators are telling us things. The band conditions are telling us things. And if we learn to listen properly, then we begin to hear far more than just voices coming from a speaker. We begin to understand what is happening around us. I'd like to finish this first section with a question. Think about the last time that you were simply listening to the radio without intending to transmit. Perhaps you were scanning the bands, monitoring a repeater, listening to an act, or sitting quietly on a frequency waiting for something interesting to happen. What did you hear that you weren't expecting? Did you discover something useful? Did you learn something new? Did you hear an unusual signal or a memorable conversation? Or perhaps did listening carefully prevent you from making a mistake? Now at this time I would like to ask if we have any questions, check-ins, or comments from this section of the Thursday Information Net Open Forum before we turn to the next narrator. This is 2Whiskey0, Kilo Yankee Hotel.
Hotel America.
Okay, I recognize K2HA. That is Fred in Brumell, Pennsylvania. Go ahead, from 2Whiskey0, Kilo Yankee Hotel.
2Whiskey0, Kilo Yankee Hotel. Declan, very good. Thank you. Before I make any comments about listening, just wanted to share, because I don't believe David is here tonight, because he's doing the Moon Tunes up there in Wisconsin. So, Mr. Cole, his canine companion, his faithful service dog, has his 9th birthday today. Well, actually yesterday. So, we're going to send birthday greetings to Mr. Cole.
Is the phone working?
Yes.
Okay.
I had to answer. The phone is working, because we had outages and it disconnected the landline, but my wife was wondering. So Mr. Cole's birthday was yesterday, and then David is celebrating his 8th anniversary as a handler and dog team on Friday. That's 8 years, so this putting that in there for David, KB9 AWG. Okay, let me reset. This is K2HA. Thank you very much, Declan, for your narration. Fine job. And the program is correct. Listening is super important. And people learn a tremendous amount by listening how to operate, how not to make a fool of yourself on the radio. And it's always good to check and see if people are using the frequency before you jump in there and think it's all yours because it's empty. Boy, I tell you, with propagation, you never know. I have heard verbal fights. Here you have somebody doing parks on the air, and they've been there for half an hour. And then another station comes in and says, well, this is, you know, I've been here for, and the propagation changed. And all of a sudden, there was a conflict between the two of them. It's an interesting conundrum. How do you solve that? Most times, the POTA station moves and finds a new frequency. Let me reset again. This is Freight K2HA. One more thing I just want to throw in there. Listening means that you need to listen to actually what is said, not necessarily what you heard. It's amazing because, you know, I have many years in preaching in the pastorate, and I always recorded my sermons. And then somebody would come and complain to the church council that I said something terrible in my sermon, and we would play back the recording to them, and then they'd say, oh, you doctored the recording. That's not what you said, because they believed what they heard, but it was what they heard emotionally, but not literally what was said. It's an interesting field, being able to listen. This is Fred, K2HA.
Okay, thank you very much there, Fred. That is very right indeed. From 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel. Sometimes there is a definite distinction between what you heard and what was actually said. And I think the more attentive listeners will be able to properly, for 100% certain, extract what was actually said from what they heard in the transmission that they are receiving. And that can apply to real life and real world scenarios as well. I think sometimes emotional charges and sort of situations where emotion can sort of overpower your observations might end up in you misconstruing the situation in front of you and mishearing what people are saying. So I think it is important to, you know, just be attentive and listen to what other people are saying, the words that are coming out of their mouths, for example, being transmitted over the radio in this in these sort of amateur radio circumstances, to ensure that there's no miscommunication between you and anybody else, and that everything is received well. Because regardless of signal strength, if there's any miscommunication, a conversation struggles to flow. So, yeah, thank you very much, Fred, for that input there about the importance of listening, which, yeah, completely agree. And I think that's why this TIN is being presented this evening, is to show that listening is very important, which indeed it is. And thank you very much for sharing the birthday greetings to Mr. Cole on behalf of Dave KB9EWG, and also to mention that he is celebrating having been, I think it was, a dog handler for 8 years, and that's an amazing sort of milestone to have, and to have had that companion for as long as we've had. That is absolutely amazing to hear about there. So thank you very much for passing that on as well, Fred. Do you have anything further you would like to add for the TIN at this time? K2HA, back to you from 2 Whiskey 0, Kilo Yankee Hotel.
2 Whiskey 0, Kilo Yankee Hotel. This is Fred, K2HA. Yeah, one more thing. The older I get, which is old, the more I listen, instead of jumping to conclusions about what somebody is saying on the radio or in person, especially if it sounds strange at first or sounds wrong at first, but you listen carefully over a period of time, and then you start understanding what's going on with that person. So listening takes more than just the original content. It is also understanding the person. This is Fred, K2HA. Back to you, Declan.
Yeah, thank you very much, Fred. And I think that's very well said indeed. So thank you. I greatly appreciate that. Yeah, I think having an understanding of the person, the other side of the radio, or the person that you'll see in front of you in any situation is very important to being able to have conversation and to be able to listen and take in what's being said, because sometimes the same words said by different people can have different meanings. And you can't really know for sure without the full context of the situation what the person means behind their words, for example, unless you know about the person, at least at the base level. So I think it is important to listen. It gives you those context clues, and it helps you to understand and keep conversation flowing with other people, regardless of whether you're in a radio situation, regardless of whether you're in a real-world situation. And so, yeah, thank you very much, Fred. So we'll go ahead and say 73 to you. I shall be checking in on the RAG 2 on Saturday evening, which I do look forward to. But for now, I will say 73 to you, Fred. And I'm going to ask if we have any further check-ins, questions, or comments for the Thursday Information Net before we move along to the next narrator. This is 2 Whiskey 0, Kilo Yankee Hotel. Do we have any further check-ins, questions, or comments at this time for the Thursday Information Net Open Forum for August 2026 before we move on to the next narrator? This is 2 Whiskey 0, Kilo Yankee Hotel. Okay, hearing no further check-ins, questions, or comments. So I think it's about time that we continue with the TIN. And next to take the hot seat, shall we say, and continue with the narration of this TIN, is, of course, Dave, Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima. I'm sure you'll recognize his voice, as you heard a little bit earlier on, just before I came in. Go ahead, Dave, and you can carry on with the TIN. Thank you very much for listening all, and just stand by while I conduct the handover to Dave there.
Yeah, this is GW8S10L. Thank you very much there, Declan, and just swap the shack seats, shall we say, and it's lovely and warm. I'd like to say happy birthday there to Mr. Cole as well for yesterday. Okay, I'm going to continue on with tonight's narration. And we're going to have a look at the listening between the signals. In the first part of tonight's first information net, we looked at why listening is such an important part of amateur radio. But there is another side to listening that is perhaps even more fascinating. When we listen carefully to our radios, we're not simply listening to voices, we're listening to information. The radio is constantly telling us something about the world around us. Sometimes we just have to learn how to interpret what we're hearing. Think about what happens when you tune across an HF band. At first you may hear nothing more than noise, a gentle hiss, perhaps some static crashes, maybe an occasional burst of interference. Then suddenly a voice appears. It may be weak, it may fade, it may become stronger again, and then, just as quickly, it disappears. To somebody new to the hobby, that can simply sound like an unreliable signal. To an experienced operator, it can tell a much bigger story. It can be a clue about propagation. It can tell us that conditions are changing. It can tell us that the signal is traveling over a path that is not particularly stable. And sometimes, it can tell us that we should perhaps wait a little longer before giving up. This is one of the great things about amateur radio. The radio isn't simply receiving a signal, it is giving us clues about what is happening between our antenna and another station. Consider fading. Most of us have heard a station that starts out strong, gradually becomes weaker, and then suddenly comes back again. We might instinctively turn the volume up, but the volume isn't necessarily the problem. The signal itself is changing. The path between the two stations is changing. Perhaps the signal is arriving at the receiving antenna by more than one path, with those signals combining differently as conditions change. Perhaps propagation has been affected by the ionosphere. Whatever the cause, careful listening allows us to recognize that the signal isn't necessarily gone. It may simply be changing. And that can affect how we operate. Instead of immediately transmitting over a weak station, we might wait. Instead of repeatedly calling, we might listen for the signal to improve. Instead of assuming the other operator has disappeared, we might give them another moment. Again, listening changes our behavior. There are other clues as well. Take interference. Anyone who has spent time on the amateur bands will know that interference can appear in many forms. There are buzzing sounds, whistles, clicks, broadband noise, digital signals, electrical interference that seems to appear from nowhere. Sometimes the interference is local, and sometimes it comes from another station. Sometimes it may be associated with conditions beyond their immediate control. The important thing is that we don't necessarily have to know the answer immediately. We can listen, we can observe, and we can compare. We can move slightly up or down the band. We can change modes where appropriate. We can listen at different times, and gradually we may begin to understand what we are hearing. That is troubleshooting again, but this time we're troubleshooting with our ears. The same principle applies to operating situations. Imagine you tune across the band near one station calling CQ. You listen for a few seconds. Then you realize there are several other stations calling them. Suddenly you understand that you're listening to a pile-up. That changes your approach. You don't simply transmit because you can hear the station. You listen to what the operator is doing. Are they working stations in a particular order? Are they asking for a specific area? Are they calling for partial call signs? Or are they repeating information? The more carefully you listen, the more likely you are to understand how the operator is managing the situation. And once again, listening comes before transmitting. The same thing happens during contests. A contest band can sound chaotic to anyone who isn't used to it. Some call signs appear rapidly. Stations exchange short pieces of information. Operators may be working stations almost continuously. Yet if you listen for long enough, a pattern emerges. You begin to understand the rhythm. You learn when a station is likely to be listening. You learn how quickly they are working, and you begin to recognize that what initially sounded like chaos is actually a very organized system. The same applies to nets. A net has its own rhythm and structure. There may be a net controller. There may be check-ins. There may be announcements. There may be stations waiting for an opportunity to speak. If we listen carefully, we learn how that particular net operates and makes it much easier to participate without disrupting the flow. There is another fascinating part of listening, recognizing voices and signals. Many experienced amateurs can recognize a station almost immediately. They may not even have heard the call sign yet. They recognize the voice. Perhaps they recognize the microphone audio. Perhaps they recognize the way the operator speaks. And perhaps they recognize a particular signal characteristic. Over time, people become familiar with the stations they regularly hear. And that is another reminder that amateur radio is about people as much as technology. A call sign may appear on the display, but behind that call sign is a person whose voice can eventually become familiar. Listening can also help us understand what our equipment is doing. Sometimes a problem isn't visible. We can't see a faulty connector. We can't see a poor solder joint. We can't see an intermittent cable, but we may be able to hear the symptoms. Perhaps the audio changes when a cable is moved. Perhaps there's an unexpected noise. Perhaps a receiver suddenly becomes deaf. Perhaps a signal that should be strong is unusually weak. Our ears can become another diagnostic instrument. And this is something radio amateurs have been doing for generations. Before sophisticated test equipment became commonplace, operators often learned to recognize faults from sounds their equipment produced. Even today, the first indication that something isn't quite right can sometimes be heard before it can be measured, and it is something else we can learn from listening. We can learn about the band itself. Experienced operators often develop an almost instinctive feeling for conditions. They can hear a band becoming active. They notice when distant stations begin appearing. They hear signals becoming stronger or weaker. They notice when a previously quiet frequency suddenly becomes busy. They begin to recognize that the bands are not static. They are constantly changing, and that means listening isn't something we do only when we're looking for someone to contact. Sometimes listening is the activity, and we can sit back and simply observe what the radio is telling us. Perhaps one of the biggest mistakes we can make is assuming that we need to understand everything immediately. We don't. If you hear a strange signal and don't recognize it, that's fine. Listen to it. Try to work out what it is. Ask another amateur. Look it up later. The important thing is that curiosity starts with listening. And that brings us back to something we mentioned earlier. The experienced operator isn't necessarily the person with the most expensive equipment. They may simply be the person who has spent the most time paying attention. They've heard more situations. They've heard more types of interference. They have heard more propagation changes. They've heard more operators, and gradually, those experiences become part of their knowledge. So perhaps we should think of the receiver in a slightly different way. We normally think of our radio as a machine that receives signals, but it can also be thought of as a window into what is happening on the bands, a window into propagation, a window into other parts of the world, and sometimes a window into situations we would never otherwise experience. But a window is only useful if we actually look through it, and a receiver is only useful if we actually listen. I'd like to leave you with a question before we pause for comments and check-ins. Has your radio ever told you something simply because you were listening carefully? Perhaps you recognized changing propagation. Perhaps you discovered interference. Perhaps you heard a rare station appear from the noise. Perhaps you realized a band was opening, or perhaps you heard something that made you investigate and learn something completely new. Those moments are often where the real magic of amateur radio begins. So this is Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu, Lima. Looking for any check-ins, questions or comments for the net so far. Okay, this is GW8SZL. Do we have any check-ins, questions or comments at this present time?
Hello, Declan or Dave, KCFQV. Just listening along here. ClubNet's on the other side, KCFQV. Mark in Ohio.
KC8FQV from GW8SNL. Good evening there, Mark, and thanks for popping in there and checking in. It's nice to know you're listening out there as well up there in Aurora, Ohio. And thanks for being here. Do you have any comments? Before I put another call out, and if there's nobody else, I'll move along with the net. KC8FQV from GW8SZL.
Oh, no, I don't have no comments right now. I knew it was a third Thursday because it's the same night that our club has our meeting. So if I didn't go tonight, normally I go, I will even take the phone and the earbuds and listen to it. I couldn't even recall what it was going to be. Of course, I wasn't around much this past weekend because I was playing coasters and that. So we'll send it back to that, KCFQV.
Yeah, KC8FQV from GW8SNL. Okay there, Mark. No problems at all. Yeah, and I've had a look at Kings Island there on the internet. It looked a very, very interesting theme park, that's for sure. And Banshee, I would love to go on. But it's a bit far away from me across this side of the pond, so I don't think that's going to ever happen. But thank you very much there, Mark. We do appreciate you popping in and saying hello. So I'll talk to you again very soon, probably tomorrow even, I would guess. So I'm going to clear with KC8FQV. That's Mark up there in Aurora in Ohio. Any further check-ins, comments, or questions so far this evening from GW8SZL?
I'll just say, you ever seen the show The Brady Bunch? That was, part of it was done there at Kings Island at one point. They were there. That was a TV show, The Brady Bunch, KC8FQV.
Yeah, KC8FQV from GW8SNL. Yeah, I've heard The Brady Bunch, but I must admit I don't think I've ever watched an episode of it, but all noted that a part of it was done at Kings Island there. Okay, anybody else from GW8SNL?
Victor Hilo 2, Delta Yankee, Robert in Sydney.
And Golf Mike Zero, Uniform Bravo, Graham here, Alloa, Central Scotland.
Okay, I've got Robert, VK2DY, down there in Sydney, Australia, and Graham, GM0, UUB up there in Alloa in central Scotland. Let's go to say hi to Robert, VK2DY from GW8SZL.
GW8SZL, this is VK2DY, Robert in northwestern Sydney, New South Wales, where it's currently 18 degrees Celsius, headed for a high of 23. Sometime this week, I didn't even notice it. We made the switch. We're sort of in spring now. The weather is warm, and it's a little bit rainy, and we've turned the corner, and it's spring. Anyway, one of the things I was thinking about was, sorry, my voice is a little bit harsh today, was that when you do make loop antennas, there's so much you have to listen when you tune them, because you can't just push a button and tune a mag loop antenna. Well, you can sort of, but you have to listen for that spot, and you can hear it. And if you have to listen very, very carefully, and magnetic loop antennas go out of tune very quickly as you switch frequencies, and so you have to keep always listening to see that your loop is still in tune. They're beautiful antennas, but that listening is the most important part of using a magnetic loop antenna. VK2DY, back to net.
Yeah, VK2DY from GW8SZL. Okay there, Robert. I used to have a loop antenna. I made it myself many, many years ago. I don't have it now. But I totally agree with you. It goes out of tune very, very quickly if you move a couple of kilohertz on some bands, and depending, of course, what it was designed for. So, yes, and the high voltages as well, that's generated. But it's all good fun, for sure. But, yeah, interference, listening, all that kind of stuff. I like the directivity on a mag loop. I don't have too much problems here. With noise, so we don't really need one to null out the noise there as well. Put it back to you there, Robert, in case you got anything further from GW8SZL.
Yeah, VK2DY here again. I don't know why I'm losing my voice, but anyway, I think I'll just say thank you for the net, and I'll listen out. VK2DY.
Yeah, VK2DY from GW8SL. Okay there, Robert. Hope your voice recovers very, very soon indeed. Mine got a little bit croaky earlier on as well. I don't know why. I haven't been using it that much. I've been listening, you see. Hi, hi. Okay, I'll say 7 feet to Robert, VK2DY, down there in Sydney, Australia. Let's come a little bit closer to my home anyway. On this side of the pond, let's go and say hello to Graham, GM0UUB, and say hi to Helen, Queen of Scotland, as well for me there, please, Graham. Over to you, sir.
Well, thank you so much, Dave. Hello to you and everybody else on the Thursday Information Net. And Robert out there, hey, listen, sir, get better quite soon. And hey, listen, it's been a long time. Hey, Robert, it's been a while since we had a good ride to you. Robert, you have to get connected, please. It'd be good to have a good old catch-up. But Robert, take care there, sir. Anyway, Dave, wonderful, wonderful night. I only managed to kind of connect up about 10 minutes ago, so sorry for my late coming. So I've been doing other things. But the whole idea about listening and listening and listening, and well before I became an amateur radio operator and licensed and all the rest, I really did love shortwave listening and everything else, and I just loved radio, just hearing what's going on. It's absolutely wonderful, and I think as an amateur operator, as a licensed operator, I think one of the best things advice you can have whenever you before you press the key or press the PTT or whatever you want to do. Listen and find out what's happening on that frequency. And, of course, always check if the frequency is clear before you transmit. But if you want to join in to whatever's going on in a particular frequency, do listen and learn what's going on. It doesn't take too long, just 3, 4, 5 minutes. I think you've probably experienced what I've had as well. When you're running a net on these networks, the VOIP systems and all the rest of networks, people just all of a sudden jump in, for a microphone check, a mic check. Really? Have you not been listening? This is a net. Go and check in. So, I think telling people, please, before you press the PTT, before you transmit whatsoever, listen around the frequency you're expecting to transmit on before you do. There we go, that's my comment. Anyway, Dave, back to you. GW8SNL from GM0UUB. Thanks, Dave.
GM0UUB from GW8SNL. Okay there, Graham, of course, with Mets, and obviously experienced that numerous occasions. And listening, very, very important. That's why I thought we'd do the TIN tonight on about listening, and trying to get it over out there that listening is so, so important for everything. That's for sure. Not just in ham radio, but in general conversations and day-to-day life and stuff like that. Okay, there, Gareth. Graham. I've lost the plot. Well, it has gone past midnight, and it's coming up to 12 minutes to 1 now, and I do turn into a pumpkin at midnight. Anything further there, Graham, my friend, from GW8SZL?
Oh, thank you, Gareth. Hey, Gareth. There we go. Hey, listen, I'll throw the compliment right back to you, sir. No, Dave, nothing else whatsoever. Apart from Dave, listening also does include, I think, receiving messages from other kind of ways in which and all the rest, blah, blah. Sorry, Dave, just want to say there's a wee bit of a conversation going on other places where you can also connect to, so you might want to have a look at that when you're able. There we go. But Dave, thank you so much, and of course all the best to Sue, and of course the kind young hand there, Declan. Goodness me, I don't know, is he exercising his finger to try and get back on the top of the podium, because he's not been there for a few weeks, so I'm not too sure, but all the best to Declan there as well. Dave, amazing, thanks for all you do, and I'll pass it back to you, sir. GW8SNL, GM0UUB.
Yeah, GM0UUB from TW8SZL. I'm sure Declan's practicing to get the gold spot back. He's collecting too much silver there, Graham. Yeah, I had noticed, I've seen a few pop-ups flying past on one of the computers here on the other side of the thing you mentioned there. And I'll have a little look a little bit later on. But I've been sorting a few things out over here. Anyway, thanks there, Graham. Say hi to Helen in the background, and thanks for popping in and saying hello. Really do appreciate it. I'm going to clear a GM0UUB. Okay, I'm now looking for the Chief. That's W4RFJ. I'm sure you're out there, Chief. Let's see. Yeah, yes, you're there. I see. Just scroll down the list a little bit. It's all yours there, GW4RFJ, and have fun, my friend, from GW8SZL.
Okay, Dave, thank you. And this is W4RFJ. I'd like to say good evening to everybody. And now moving on, listening to people, not just radio signals. So far tonight, we've looked at listening before we transmit. And we've considered what the radio itself can tell us when we pay close attention. But there's another kind of listening that is perhaps even more important, and that is listening to people. Because behind every call sign we hear is a person. It might be someone we've never met. It might be someone we've known for years. It might be a newcomer making their very first contact, or it might be an old friend whose voice we could recognize almost instantly. The technology may connect us, but it is the people who actually communicate. And that means that being a good listener isn't just about understanding radio signals, it's about understanding the person on the other end. Think about a typical amateur radio conversation. One person speaks, the other person listens, then they respond. It sounds simple, but how often are we actually listening carefully to what the other person is saying? Sometimes we're already thinking about our next response. We're waiting for a gap. We're wondering what story we're going to tell. Perhaps we're thinking about our equipment, our antenna, or something that happened to us last week. The other person is talking, but our mind has already moved somewhere else. Well, we've all done it. It's a very human thing to do. But genuine listening requires something different. It requires us to put our own thoughts aside for a moment and concentrate on what the other person is actually saying. And sometimes that means resisting the temptation to immediately tell them about our own experience. This is particularly important when we hear someone who is new to amateur radio. We can usually recognize the situation. Their voice may sound nervous. They might speak very quickly. They might hesitate before giving their call sign. They might not know exactly what information they are expected to exchange. Perhaps they make a mistake. Perhaps they don't understand a piece of terminology that an experienced operator takes completely for granted. And this is where listening can make a real difference. An experienced operator who is genuinely listening will often recognize that nervousness. They might slow the conversation down. They might ask a simple question. They might give the newcomer plenty of time to respond. And perhaps most importantly, they won't make the person feel embarrassed about being new. That may sound like a small thing. It isn't. For someone taking their first steps into amateur radio, a positive experience can be incredibly encouraging, and a negative one can be equally powerful, but in the wrong direction. We sometimes forget what it felt like when we were new. There's another side of this. Listening to experienced operators can teach us an enormous amount. Not necessarily because they're explaining something technical. Sometimes it's the way they conduct themselves. Listen to an operator who's been on the air for decades during a difficult situation. They may not speak loudly. They may not rush. They may not appear concerned. They simply listen, understand what is happening, and respond appropriately. That calmness is something that can be learned, and sometimes we learn it simply by hearing someone else demonstrate it. This is one of our great advantages of being part of the amateur radio community. We don't only learn from books, manuals, and examination questions. We learn from each other, and often the best lessons aren't announced as lessons at all. We simply hear someone handling a situation well, and we remember it. The same applies to amateur radio nets. Anyone who regularly participates in a net will know that every net has its own rhythm. There's usually a net controller. There are stations checking in. There may be announcements, discussions, and questions, and there may be people waiting patiently for their opportunity to speak. A good net participant listens to what has already been said. They don't simply wait for their turn. They know what's been covered. They avoid repeating information unnecessarily. They recognize when somebody else needs to contribute. Sorry about that. And they understand that a net isn't a competition to see who can talk the longest. It's a shared conversation. That is particularly important when a net has a large number of participants. If everyone is concentrating only on getting their own message across, the net quickly becomes difficult to follow, but when people listen to one another, the whole thing becomes smoother. There is also something else we should remember. Listening doesn't necessarily mean agreeing. That's an important distinction. We can listen carefully to another operator and still have completely different opinion. We can understand what somebody is saying without agreeing with their conclusion. We can disagree about equipment, operating practices, technology, and almost anything else without turning a conversation into an argument. Sometimes the problem isn't that people disagree. The problem is that they respond before they have properly understood what the other person is saying. We've all seen conversations where one person says something, the other person misunderstands it, and suddenly they're arguing about something neither of them actually meant. Listening can prevent that. Sometimes the simplest response is, if I understood you correctly, you're saying, that gives the other person an opportunity to confirm or correct our understanding before the conversation moves on. It may sound formal, but the principle is extremely useful. And then there's the operators who don't say very much at all. Perhaps you've encountered someone who is regularly present on a net but rarely speaks. Maybe they check in occasionally. Maybe they simply listen. Perhaps you've been doing that for months. It's easy to assume that because someone isn't talking, they aren't interested. But that may not be true at all. They might be learning. They might be shy. They might simply prefer listening. They may be enjoying the company without feeling the need to contribute every time, and occasionally the best thing we can do is simply leave the door open. A friendly invitation, such as, if you'd like to join us, you're very welcome. No pressure, no expectations. Just an invitation. Sometimes that's all it takes. Listening can also help us recognize when someone needs a little more time. Imagine somebody trying to explain a technical problem over the radio. They may not have the right words. They might describe a symptom without knowing what the actual problem is. They might say, my radio is doing this strange thing. An impatient response might be, well, that's obviously your power supply. But a good listener doesn't jump immediately to the conclusion. They ask questions. What exactly are you saying? When did it start? Does it happen all the time? What changed before the problem appeared? Did you let Chief operate your radio last? In other words, we listen before we diagnose. And perhaps that sounds familiar after last month's TIN. Troubleshooting and listening are actually closely connected. You cannot properly understand a problem if you haven't properly listened to the person describing it. There is also a human side to their conversation that we shouldn't overlook. Sometimes someone isn't really looking for an answer. They're looking for somebody to listen. That can happen anywhere, including amateur radio. Perhaps someone has had a difficult day. Perhaps they're operating from home alone. Perhaps they simply want to hear another human voice. We don't always know what is happening on the other side of the microphone, and we don't need to know, especially at Chiefs QTH. Sometimes a few minutes of genuine conversation can mean more to someone than we realize. That is one of the wonderful things about amateur radio. A signal crosses thousands of miles, but what actually arrives at the other end is the human voice. And sometimes that voice is exactly somebody needed to hear. So when we talk about being a good radio operator, perhaps we should think beyond technical ability. Being able to configure a radio is useful. Understanding antennas is useful. Knowing propagations is useful. Being able to operate digital modes is useful. But none of those things automatically make someone a good communicator. A good communicator listens. They give the other person space. They pay attention. They don't assume. They don't rush to judgment. And they understand that sometimes the most valuable thing they can give another operator is simply their attention. Okay, so I guess at this time we'd like to ask for any check-ins, questions, or comments. This is W4RFJ, one of the narrators. Well, I'm not hearing anybody. This is W4RFJ. I'd like to add a little bit to what we've already said. Sometimes people talk to talk and they don't say anything at all and they talk for an hour. That's something to think about too. You know, if you're going to talk, say something everybody can get something out of. Anyway, looking for check-ins, questions, or comments.
2 Bravo India Oscar checking in.
2 Bravo India Oscar. I'm sorry I didn't get the entire call. Go ahead, sir. Come on aboard.
Yeah, this is VK2 Bravo India Oscar. My name is Mike. I'm in Nowra, New South Wales, Australia. Thank you for your broadcast. I'm just checking in, and I have no comment.
Okay, VK2BIO, Mike, thanks for joining us here this evening, and nice clear audio, I might add. And let's see. I guess with that, we'll look for more check-ins. Okay, I guess we're going to hand it off to the alien life form. KE5ALF, it's your turn, Alf. Are you there?
W4RFJ from KE5ALF. I'm here. I landed last night. Got in late, but I'm here. All right, let's continue on here. I'm going to start off with knowing when to speak and when not to. We spent the first 3 sections of tonight's Thursday Information Net talking about listening. We've looked at why listening before transmitting is important. We've looked at what our radios can tell us when we pay attention to the signals we hear, and we've looked at the importance of listening to the people behind those call signs. So perhaps it's time to look at the other side of the equation, because it's an important as listening is, amateur radio is, after all, a two-way communication service. Eventually, we have to push the press-to-talk button. Eventually, we have to speak. And that brings us to an interesting question. How do we know when it's the right time to speak? It sounds like a simple question, but perhaps it isn't. Think about how often we hear someone say, "Is this frequency in use?" And before they've finished the sentence, someone transmits. Or perhaps we're listening to a conversation and hear a brief pause. We might assume the conversation is finished. We transmit only to discover that the other operator was simply taking a breath. These situations are usually harmless, but they demonstrate something important. Timing matters. A good operator simply listens for silence. They listen for an opportunity. There is a difference. Silence doesn't necessarily mean that nobody is communicating. Sometimes silence is simply part of the communication. A pause can mean that someone is thinking. A pause can mean that the other station is trying to break in. A pause can mean that the operator is checking whether someone else needs the frequency, and sometimes the best thing we can do is simply wait another few seconds. This is particularly important when operating through a repeater or participating in a net. Most of us have possibly heard a repeater when one person seems to occupy the frequency for a long time. Perhaps they're having a perfectly good conversation. Perhaps they aren't doing anything technically wrong. But eventually, other people stop trying to join in. Why? Because they didn't hear an opportunity. The same thing can happen during a net. If one person speaks for several minutes, every time they are called, others might become reluctant to participate. This isn't necessarily deliberate. They may simply be enthusiastic. But enthusiasm and communication aren't always the same thing. Sometimes being a good operator means recognizing the other people need space as well. There's an old idea that the best communicator is the person who talks the most. Amateur radio proves that isn't necessarily true. Some of the most respected operators I've encountered are not the ones who dominate a frequency. They're the ones who know when to contribute something useful. They listen, they wait, and when they transmit, they have something worth saying. That doesn't mean every transmission has to be profound. Sometimes we're simply exchanging signal reports and weather information. Sometimes we're talking about antennas. Sometimes we're discussing what we had for breakfast. That's perfectly fine. The point isn't that every transmission has to be important. The point is that our transmissions should have a purpose, and sometimes that purpose is simply enjoying a conversation with another amateur. There's another situation where knowing when to speak becomes particularly important, emergency or priority traffic. Most of us will hopefully never have to deal with that situation or with a genuine emergency on the air. But if it happens, the ability to listen becomes critical. We need to recognize when ordinary conversations need to stop. We need to give priority to the station when important information. We need to listen carefully to instructions, and we need to avoid transmitting simply because we want to be heard. In those circumstances, listening isn't just good operating practice, it can be essential. The ability to remain calm, listen carefully, and understand what is happening can make an enormous difference, and that is another example of why listening is a skill rather than simply a passive activity. But there is another kind of silence that deserves some attention. Sometimes we don't need to respond. We've all experienced conversations where somebody says something and we feel compelled to answer immediately. Perhaps we're worried that silence will feel uncomfortable. So we say something, anything, but on the radio, silence can sometimes be useful. Perhaps someone has just shared a thought. Perhaps they've told a story. Perhaps they've explained something important. A few seconds of silence can give people time to absorb what they've heard. We don't always have to fill every gap. Sometimes the best response is simply, "I understand," or "That's interesting," or even nothing at all. Listening means allowing another person's words to exist for a moment before we rush to replace them with our own. And that brings us to something else, the temptation to correct people. Amateur radio contains an enormous amount of knowledge. That is one of its strengths, but it can also create a temptation. Sometimes someone's saying something that isn't quite right. We know the correct answer and we feel the need to tell them immediately. Sometimes that is appropriate. If someone is doing something dangerous or causing harmful interference, correcting the situation is obviously important, but there are other situations where the better approach may be to listen first. Perhaps we've misunderstood what they meant. Perhaps they are speaking from personal experience. Perhaps there is more to the story, and perhaps the corrections can wait. Being knowledgeable is valuable. Knowing when and how to use that knowledge is even more valuable. This is particularly important when talking to newcomers. Imagine a new amateur making a mistake on the air. They might be nervous already, and if the first response they receive is a harsh criticism, they may decide that amateur radio isn't for them, but imagine instead that someone listens, understands what happened, and explains it calmly. The result is completely different. The newcomer learns something, and they gain confidence, and they are much more likely to continue participating. That is how a hobby grows. not simply by issuing licenses, but by creating an environment where people want to stay. There is another lesson here that I think applies far beyond amateur radio. Listening carefully can improve almost every form of communication, whether it be at home, at work, with friends, and with family. When somebody is explaining a problem, when somebody is upset, when somebody is trying to tell us something important, the temptation is often to think about what we're going to say next. But if we can learn to listen first, we may discover that the conversation becomes easier. We understand the other person's point of view, we ask better questions, and we make fewer assumptions. And perhaps most importantly, the other person knows that they've actually been heard. That's a surprisingly powerful thing. So perhaps the title of tonight's 10 has a slightly deeper meaning than we first anticipated, realized. The art of listening. Art is an interesting word. We don't normally describe listening as an art. We describe it as something we simply do. But like any skill, it can be developed. We can become better at it. We can learn to recognize signals. We can learn to recognize pauses. We can learn to recognize when someone is struggling. We can learn to recognize when a conversation needs our contribution and when it doesn't, and when we can learn that silence isn't necessarily empty. Sometimes silence contains information. Sometimes it contains opportunity, and sometimes it contains respect. Let's think back over everything we've discussed tonight. We started with a simple question. How long could you listen if you weren't allowed to transmit? We then discovered that listening can tell us about propagation, interference, signals, and operating conditions. We looked at listening to people and discovered that every call sign represents an individual with their own experiences, knowledge, and reasons for being on the air. And now we've arrived at the other side of the equation, knowing when to speak, knowing what to say, knowing when to give someone else an opportunity, and occasionally knowing when to remain silent. Perhaps we spend too much time in amateur radio thinking about what makes a good transmitter. We talk about antenna efficiency, power modulation, bandwidth, audio quality. We discuss the latest equipment and the newest technologies. All of those things are important, but perhaps we should also ask ourselves, what makes a good operator? And perhaps one of the simplest answers is this. A good operator knows how to listen. They listen before transmitting. They listen to understand. They listen to learn. They listen to other operators, and they listen for those moments when somebody else needs an opportunity to speak. I'd like to finish tonight with one final question, and this one isn't really about equipment, it isn't about antennas, and it isn't about propagation. It isn't even about radio. It's about your own experience. What has amateur radio taught you simply by listening? Perhaps you've learned something technical. Perhaps you learned how to handle a difficult situation. Perhaps you learned about another part of the world. Perhaps you learned from an experienced operator. Perhaps you heard somebody's story that stayed with you, or perhaps somewhere along the way you simply discovered that there is always something new to learn if you're prepared to listen. For me, that may be the most important message of tonight's Thursday Information Net. We don't always have to be the person speaking. We don't always have to have the answer. We don't always have to be the loudest signal. Sometimes we just need to listen. Because when we stop listening, we stop learning. And when we stop learning, we lose one of the things that makes amateur radio such a remarkable hobby. So the next time you sit down at your radio, switch it on, hear the familiar hiss from the speaker, perhaps don't immediately reach for the microphone, sit back for a moment, listen to the signals, listen to the operators, listen to the band, listen for the unexpected, and perhaps, just perhaps, you'll hear something that you've never heard before. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are heading for the close of tonight's program. Do we have any further check-ins, questions, or comments before we close this evening? If you're there, it's the check-in now.
Hotel America.
KE5ALF, the K2HA. It's all yours, Fred.
Okay, thank you very much, Alf. Peace and blessings, everyone listening on the net. Come to think of it, we have convinced governments around the world the value of amateur radio because we can be useful in emergencies. And you really can't be useful in an emergency unless you listen and you hear the people and you're able to do something to help the situation. So that's why we exist, and that's why we have all these frequencies. So it's important to listen. It was an excellent presentation. Thank you all very much for tuning in. And this is Fred K2HA. I hope that you'll come to the rank to Saturday and Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, 23 hours Zulu, here on the SCARS Conference. Okay, back to you, Greg. This is Fred, K2HA.
K2HA from KE5AOF. Thank you very much for checking in, Fred, and I appreciate your comments. Is there anybody else out there that would like to check in or has any questions or comments before we close this evening? All right. As always, if there's anybody that has any questions or suggestions for a topic for the Thursday Information Net, please email us at voip@scarsvoip.com. That's voip@scarsvoip.com. This has been SCARS VOIP. Net schedules and general information may be found on our website at scarsvoip.com. This is Greg, KE5AOF, saying good night to one and all and returning this service back to its normal use.